To get things rolling this afternoon, we get on board the G&M Family Market phone line and welcome back to the program the host of the In Play podcast. You see his work in FanRag Sports, Hardball Times, and everywhere. Evan Davis back on the show with us this afternoon. Evan, welcome.
Thank you, Rich.
Good to have you back on with us here as we hit the quarter pole of the Major League Baseball season. So, let's start with the downside. Has anybody played themselves right out of things a quarter of the way through?
You do wonder about teams like the Blue Jays. They've dealt with some injuries, and we knew that was always going to affect them when somebody like Josh Donaldson is riding pine. But, I mean, you have to bank wins. Wins are wins no matter what time of the year you get them. And when you are this far back in the AL East cellar, you know, 25% of the season in, it's really difficult to see how anything less than just an absolutely torrid hot streak in the second half of the year is going to fix their problems. Same thing with the San Francisco Giants, who I think we all believe would be a wild card contender and a pretty open National League wild card race. But man, oh man, yeah, they've been hurt a little bit too, but the bullpen problems that they dealt with last year are cropping up again, and they're just not winning games. I see both the Blue Jays and the Giants having a really, really hard road trying to get back into playoff contention.
On the flip side of things, some teams are surprising people in the early going here. Is this Minnesota Twins team possibly for real?
You want to say that it is, because stories like this are so exciting. I think everyone left the Twins for dead in preseason, and I certainly did. Look, I think that, you know, they are swinging some really hot bats. Miguel Sano is looking kind of like the guy that everybody thought he would be when he was signed out of the Dominican 8 years ago. He actually has the highest average exit velocity on batted balls of anybody in the major leagues. He's hitting the ball at nearly 98 miles an hour on average. Joe Mauer and Brian Dozier are looking pretty good at the plate. And, you know, Irvin Santana is kind of coming out of nowhere and managing contact in a really impressive way. But the problem with them is their starting rotation. Santana's been good. I'm not really convinced that it can last. But everyone else, we knew that was going to be one of their glaring weaknesses, and they're just kind of surviving by the skin of their teeth. I don't see how they can put a sustainable product on the field from their starting rotation for 162 games.
How about over in the National League, a couple of surprising teams that can either the Milwaukee Brewers or the Colorado Rockies sustain their great starts?
Well, the Brewers are fun, and that's mostly to do with Eric Thames, who's probably the best story of the season so far. A guy who was basically a major league washout 5 years ago, exiled to South Korea, played in the Korean baseball organization, and reinvented himself and became a monster. No one really knew what he was going to be when the Brewers signed him. The Brewers are in a rebuilding phase. They got him for cheap. It was assumed that he was just kind of a stopgap until they were ready to push in a couple of years. But man, oh man, is he taking the league by storm. I think that you can also point to a lot of things underneath the hood that suggest that he is going to be sustainable. He never swings at pitches out of the strike zone and demolishes them when guys have to come in on him. So he's been great. I think that the team is still maybe a year or two away from really being able to compete. Yeah, Keon Broxton is a lot of fun. Ryan Braun is still good and will probably be trade bait if anyone wants to take on all the money from his contract. But, you know, I think big picture, it's still the Cubs division to lose. Yeah, the Cubs have scuffled a little bit at the beginning of the year, but they're too good and they're too deep. I see the Brewers falling away as time goes on. And when it comes to the Rockies, I think I kind of had them maybe as a dark horse to fish around, maybe as an NL wild card pick. But now they're doing some interesting things in an area I didn't think that they would, and that's mainly their bullpen. Particularly, Adam Ottavino and Greg Holland have looked great, and Holland hadn't been pitching in nearly 2 years thanks to his Tommy John surgery. But the starting rotation, which could have been cool, is starting to look like a pretty typical Coors Field starting rotation. Tyler Anderson has hit a wall. Antonio Senzatella, you know, as a rookie who has a pretty nice-looking ERA, but the peripherals kind of suggest that he'll be falling away, and obviously John Gray has had all of his struggles. And the offense is always going to be overrated thanks to the ballpark that they play in. You know, Mark Reynolds is not going to keep up this kind of power at his age and in his history. It's just not going to happen. And I don't think Charlie Blackmon is going to look quite as good as he's been. Nolan Arenado is Nolan Arenado, but Trevor Story appears to have really taken a big step back from what he did last year. I don't think that the Rockies really have what it takes to last, especially because I think the Dodgers, while maybe not looking so great on the surface, I mean, yeah, they're in second or third place, they're just so good and they're so deep. I mean, the NL West is the Dodgers to lose at this point.
We're talking with Evan Davis here on Downtown. Well, let's look at who's doing well in the American League. Are the Astros the best in the league right now?
It's hard to argue against that. I mean, they are neck and neck with the Yankees to be the second best, you know, the best and second best offense in the major leagues. And, you know, as exciting as the Yankees have been, and I think as good as the Yankees have been up to this point, I think the Astros are just built to last. I mean, Carlos Correa is still a monster. And Dallas Keuchel, you know, at least before the injury, is back to Cy Young form. And actually, I think he's probably pitching better than he was when he won his Cy Young in 2015. And Lance McCullers, again, a guy who everybody has noticed has the stuff to be an ace, is really pitching like an ace. And if he can stay on the mound and give them, you know, 200 innings, that is one of the most lethal 1-2 punches that any starting rotation in the majors has. I think the Astros are easily the favorites, especially with the Indians dealing with some issues in the first 6 or 7 weeks. I think the Astros have got what it takes to be the pennant winner this year.
It's been a frustrating first 40 games or so of the season for Red Sox fans. This team just can't seem to get out of its own way. Chris Sale has been lights up, but hasn't had a whole lot of run support. And then third base has become the black hole for them. How do you view this team? Can they get themselves into contention?
I actually wrote an article for FanRag recently about the Red Sox offense. They are having a really tough time hitting home runs. And as everyone knows, I mean, this is a home run happy environment that we are finding ourselves in baseball right now. If you can't get the ball over the fence, it's really hard for you to score runs. And, you know, it's them and the Pirates and the Giants who cannot seem to get home runs. And the Giants have an excuse for playing in one of the most difficult parks to hit a home run in. You know, Fenway is a bandbox. They should be getting the ball over the fence. We know that Mookie Betts leveled up his power last year. We know that, like, on his day, Hanley Ramirez and Mitch Moreland can be power guys, but they're just not producing. And you really have to worry about that. Benintendi's a gap-to-gap hitter. You know, he's got some home run power, but that's not really his game. So unless they start scoring some runs really, really soon, you know, maybe it's a wild card for them. I mean, they were supposed to be the best team in the AL East. That's what at least I thought going in. David Price getting healthy will help at least stabilize their run prevention. And Craig Kimbrell is, once again, one of the two or three most terrifying relievers in the game right now. I'm not going to count the Red Sox out just yet, but I think the offense is a really big concern this early in the year.
Speaking of FanRag, you had a really interesting piece a couple of days ago on Kevin Gausman of the Orioles, who looked like he was ready to make the step into becoming a legitimate ace. It's been an awful year so far for him, and it's hard to pinpoint a reason.
Yeah, I mean, you have to just assume that it's either mechanical, something's going on with his release point or with his delivery, or maybe it's a mental thing, which would be strange. He had such a terrific year last year, not just in terms of numbers, but also in terms of health and longevity. I mean, it seemed as though Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter were really starting to trust him. He made 30 starts, pitched nearly 180 innings. But man, he has just been terrible. He's leaving his splitter, which is his signature out pitch, in the zone. He's not burying it arm side the way that he usually does. And guys aren't biting. His walk rate has jumped to nearly 10, you know, over 10%. which is unsustainable. His strikeouts have dropped in a coordinating fashion, and guys are just tattooing him when they do make contact. I can't really explain it. I think if someone really wants to sit down with video and try and parse just how he's throwing the ball right now, we might be able to find something. But how he fixes it, how he gets himself right, that's another question. It's really unfortunate because the Orioles have had starting pitching problems over the last couple of years, and Gausman was always seen as the guy who was going to get them over the hump and really develop into, you know, if not an ace, at least a really solid number two, number three starter. And it's not happening for him this year. So it's a really worrying sign for fans in Camden Yards.
Over in the National League, the Nationals are playing great baseball. Would you say that they're maybe the biggest threat to the Cubs repeating?
You want to say that. I mean, Murphy is Murphy. Bryce Harper is Bryce Harper. You know, I think all the people, you know, screaming in delight when Harper took a step back last year, I think I have to eat their hats a bit. Now that he's healthy, he's just doing what he did in 2015, more or less. Ryan Zimmerman is a lot of fun. Apparently, he just was taught by Daniel Murphy to get the ball in the air, and now he's destroying everything. I think that he might regress as the season goes on. For me, the Dodgers are still the team to challenge the Cubs. They have the pitching, and they have pitching beyond just Clayton Kershaw. I think President of Baseball Operations, Andrew Friedman, has been really intelligent about using the AAA shuttle, moving guys in and out of Oklahoma City, and using the 10-day DL to get his guys rest and just keep everybody fresh and healthy. And their offense is just monstrous. Justin Turner is a beast. I don't see the Nationals. Well, you know, they're the team to beat in the NL East, certainly, but in the grand scheme of things, I think what we're going to find is that the Cubs and the Dodgers are the teams really in the NL that are going to be going to war a lot over the next couple of seasons.
Evan Davis, the host of the In Play podcast. You see his work on FanRag Sports, Hardball Times, and more. Evan, as always, great talking baseball with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon.
Out of fun, Rich. Thanks a lot.